your Bibles. And as I always say, if you don't have one, please get yourself a Bible. That's your weapon against the tricks of the enemy. Anything you need, right here in this book. So again, I want to call your attention to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and I'm only going to read the first 3 verses. Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 1. When you have it, say amen. And there you will find these words. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. From these passages of scripture, I want to speak to you for as long as the Spirit will allow on this topic. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You could have left me in my mess, but you brought me out. Give him glory. God's grace. God's grace, which is nothing but unmerited favor, which means you didn't deserve what he did for you. But he loves you enough to look beyond your faults and bless your very soul. Let's give the choir a hand, church. Better praise him while you can, because you just never know when it might be your last chance to give God a little praise. Hallelujah.
Go ahead, bro.
Just the fact that this young man had the mind to praise God is enough for us to get happy about. Sister Paul, it's so good to see you in the house this morning. Amen. You're going the wrong way. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I bow before you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Realizing, God, I can't do anything without you. So, God, I ask now that you abide with me. Use me as your vessel. Oh, God, take me out of self that they might see less of me and all of thee. Hide me behind the old rugged cross and cover me, God. Oh, God, dip me down in your well of wisdom now that I might preach a word from on high. And, God, when all this has been said and done, I dare not take any of the credit for the move that might take place here on today. But I give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. Now, God, I pray that the word of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thine sight. My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Choir singing like they come to have church. Put me where I didn't want to be too early. But nevertheless, when I went to the Lord in prayer about what he would have me to teach and preach on today, it's funny how God reveals messages to you. For my wife and I was dealing with two of our very good friends. We just talking, and a certain individual said something. And as soon as he said it, jumped in my spirit. I said, I got to preach that. I didn't tell him when, because I didn't know when. But by the time I got home, God said, that's what you're going to preach Sunday. So here we are. And God led me to a very familiar text, the book of Jonah. And the way he has given me this teaching may or may not cause you to shout, may or may not get a few amens. But however, know that this teaching, this message today, is very necessary to the body of Christ. And God has given me specific instructions to stand boldly before you and give you this message exactly the way he presented it to me. For know that this message is for everybody, including myself. And know that this morning I did not come to throw stones. I did not come to criticize or point the finger. Neither did I come to call anybody out. But I have simply come here today with great concern. And to encourage the people of God as the body of Christ and tell you that it's time that we start carrying out the true purpose and assignment that God has placed on our life. Why is that, preacher? The reason is that we must start putting more focus on our true purpose and our assignment in these times such as this. Is the very fact that there are too many of God's people who are outside these walls, walking in total darkness, and they know nothing about the light of God. There are too many of God's people who are in jails and in prisons, who are in crack houses and liquor houses, who are on street corners, those who are homeless and hungry, living on the bridges, because there is no more room in overcrowded shelters. Those who are suffering, who are going through, who are hurting, and they are broken. They are lost. And they are being held captive in bondage because of their own self-imprisonment. And because of the tricks and the conniving ways of the enemy, who keeps telling them time and time again that their life is over. And that they will never amount to anything and that things will never change. And the only thing that they have to look forward to is death itself. Help me do this, Holy Ghost. And many of us are looking at them as though they don't even matter. I can't speak for any of you, but I have been there. I've been in a place in my life where death seemed like it was my only way out. The only way out of my ongoing suffering that I had to deal with on a daily basis. And I was headed for total destruction. And my life was headed toward the deathbed. But God. Have anybody in this house ever had a but God moment in your life? That moment when it looked like it was all over. When it looked like all hope was gone. When it looked like the end was drawing near. But God showed up just in the nick of time. Rose up in the midst of your situation and made the devil out of a lie. And turned your situation around. If there anybody in the house who knows what I'm talking about, give God a praise right there. For it was God and God only who pulled us out of our Nineveh state. Thank you, Lord. For we must realize and understand this very fact. The only reason that many of God's people are suffering. The only reason that many of them are hurting, confused, and can't seem to find their way is because they haven't been introduced to Jesus Christ and the awesome power that he has to turn a bad situation around and bring them out of this self-imprisonment that they have put themselves in. For the time has come where we must help set the captives free. And I'm not talking about approaching them like we are all holier than thou. Neither are we to force the word of God on them. But I'm implying that we just show them a little love. Tell them that we love them and tell them that God loves them even more. And that he has a special purpose for their lives. And that our prayers will always be with them. And let it go. And let God do the rest. Will they instantly change? No. Neither do any of us. Will they all take heed to our word and obey? No. But if we can just reach just one lost soul, that they might choose to change and follow God, know that our purpose is being fulfilled. And for those of us who know him but have fallen by the wayside for whatever reason, you need to be encouraged and reminded that our God still reigns. He is still King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and there is no other like him. And there is nothing that he can't do. And it is up to those of us who proclaim salvation and are going supposedly in the right direction to carry the message of Jesus Christ to those who are walking in darkness and continue to fulfill our purpose. So my assignment here today is to get you to see the necessity of carrying out the purpose that God has placed on your life. And the time is now. Somebody say purpose. For our text today deals with a man by the name of Jonah, better known as the wrong way prophet, who was given specific instructions by God to go to Nineveh and cry out against their wickedness. They were a vicious people, living all kind of ways. Have you ever heard of them? But Jonah chooses to go in the opposite direction. Say wrong way. Away from the presence of the Lord. Simply because he did not want to carry out the purpose that God had placed on his life. And the only reason he was struggling with carrying out his purpose was the simple fact that he did not want to go to the very place that God had instructed him to go. Because he was not comfortable with the ways of the people in Nineveh. Neither did he know how they would receive him when he carried the word of God to them to call out their ways. And if the truth be told, there are many of us here today who are suffering from a Jonah mentality. Help me, Holy Ghost. All because of the simple fact that we too have been given specific instructions by God to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are lost. Those whose Nineveh is right outside these walls. And just like Jonah, we too have chosen to go in the opposite direction. Away from God's presence. All because we are not willing to carry God's message to those who are still living a life lost in the wilderness. And we are neglecting to go and minister unto them. All because who they are and because of where they reside. A place called Nineveh. Is anybody going to pray with me this morning? For we must realize and understand that this thing is much bigger than us. And that people's very lives are depending on us to be obedient to the purpose and the assignment that God has placed on our lives. For we can no longer be satisfied with coming to church on Sunday morning, getting our praise on, getting our shout on, lifting up the mighty name of Jesus, which is all good. But this thing is much bigger than that. And then we leave the church house not telling anybody about the goodness of Jesus Christ and his power to save. His power to change people's lives. For we must get the word out that it's dangerous to be going in the wrong direction. Can I put it like this? For those of us who are drivers, know about the traffic signs, and one says the wrong way. Know that it's there for a purpose. It's there to warn or inform you of the possible danger that lies ahead if you go in that direction. But to go in that direction could cause you to end up in a critical state or even worse, death. And this is the same type of message that we must convey to those who are going the wrong way in life. Are y'all gonna help me preach this thing? That's why it's so crucial that we become and remain walking examples of God's power to change anybody. For did you not know that sometimes you don't have to say anything to let somebody know that you know something about Jesus Christ? For the way you walk and carry yourself would say it all. Believe it or not, know that there is healing in your walk. That's why it's so crucial to our purpose to make sure that if you talk the talk, walk the walk. For you just never know who may be watching you. And your very walk may be the very thing that brings some lost soul in from their Nineveh state. For we must always strive to be Christ-like. For those of us who proclaim salvation must make sure that the way we live and the way that we walk, hear me good, is closely aligned to God by allowing the light of his word to illuminate our path, which in turn keeps us from living blind, which leads to a godly vision that gives clarity and focus to our days and to our words. And then our actions will match up. And when others observe this, the impression is not necessarily that of someone who knows everywhere that they are going, but it is of someone who clearly knows who they are following. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For my prayer each morning is, Jesus, I want my words and actions to match up For I fall short, but my desire is to grow more consistent with each day. Help me, Lord, so that everyone watching my life will be drawn to you. I said my prayers, Jesus, I want my words and actions to match up. For I fall short. We're not perfect. We will fall short. But my desire is to grow more consistent with each day. Help me, Lord. He's the only one that can truly help us. So that everyone watching my life, you will be watched, will be drawn to you. If you're going to be watched, get some good out of it and help somebody. For know that God saved you for a particular purpose. Not just so you can stick your chest out and boast about what you do and don't do no more. As though you are better than those who are still walking in darkness. But that you become a willing vessel to do God's will, which is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are suffering. And if you find that you are not doing this, know that you are walking the wrong direction. You are going the wrong way when it comes to carrying out the purpose that God has placed on your life. Tell somebody it's time to fulfill your purpose. I like how y'all helping me. For I want to encourage you by telling you this. God will never send you on an assignment that he has not prepared you for. Not only has he prepared you for the assignment, but he has given you everything that you need to be effective in carrying out your particular assignment. And most importantly, know that God will always be with you in everything that you do. Even in those times when you are disobedient, just like he was with Jonah in his disobedience. Which brings me to my text. For the Bible says here in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me. For Nineveh was a major city of the Assyrians, which consisted of cruel and warlike people. And they were known for execution and emplacement, flaying the skin off prisoners. In other words, they were taking the skin off people, y'all. And they were known for cutting off people's head, which explains Jonah's reluctance to preach to the city of Nineveh about turning from their wicked ways. But know and understand that God does not send or give us assignments according to our comfort zone. But he assigns us to those places where people are in desperate need of a savior. And they need to be delivered. And our text reveals to us that Jonah was not ready to do that, for verse 3 proves this very thing. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Know that when you leave the presence of God, you have already lost your power. And he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. The wrong way. Found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid to get on the ship, wasting his money. And he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Tell somebody you can run, but you can't hide. That's a known fact, church. I ran for a long time, and God was always looking right down at me. I see you, son. I got work for you to do. Stop your running. Help me, Holy Ghost. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. In other words, it was a violent, windy storm, so strong that it almost broke the ship. And scripture tells us that the mariners became afraid and cried every man unto his God. It's easy to see somebody calling on God when they're in trouble. You don't have a problem calling on him then, because you need some help. But when the Lord delivers you, you forget all about the God that you cried to. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And scripture says that they started throwing cargo into the sea to lighten the load. They might have lightened the load, but they didn't lighten what God had for them to go through. While Jonah was still deep sleep in the lower part of the ship, verse 6 says, so the shipmaster came to Jonah and said unto him, why is this happening, O sleeper? My paraphrase, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we will not die. And the Bible says that they began to talk to one another. And they made a decision to cast lots. Church full of group keepers talking amongst one another, trying to figure out who deserves the blame. Who's the reason for this not functioning the right way, or this not functioning the right way? We all are the blame, because we all are one body in Christ. They cast lots that they might find who brought this evil against them. And the lot fell upon Jonah. For know and understand that God will uncover you when you are outside of his will. I need to say that one more time. God will uncover you when you are outside of his will. Verse 8, and they, the mariners, began to question Jonah about who he was. And he tells them that I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10, then the men became exceedingly afraid and asked Jonah, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because that's what Jonah had told them earlier. So they asked Jonah, what shall we do unto thee that may cause the sea to become calm, being that it was so fierce and strong? And Jonah said unto them, take me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm. Sometimes you got to own up to your mess. For it is because of me that the sea is so strong. For Jonah realized that his disobedience is what brought all of this on in the first place. For know that disobedience will always cause consequences to come up in your life. That's why the Bible clearly tells us in 1 Samuel, obedience is better than sacrifice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Bible says here in verse 15, so they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. So here lies Jonah in this great big sea, not knowing what to expect next. But can I preach and tell somebody that when God gives you a particular assignment, or when he gives you a specific purpose in life, know that he has already gone ahead of you and made the necessary preparations needed to carry out the assignment. For it's right here in the text. Well, verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. There it is right there. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, which kept him safe from the activities of the sea. Look at God, as Sophie would say. But not only did being in the fish belly keep Jonah safe, but it put him in a place in life where not only did he become willing to talk to God, but he was able to recognize and see the goodness, the mercy, and the grace of a living God. For the Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, I cried my reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Know that God will always hear your humble cry. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heard my voice. For how many of you understand and realize that sometimes God will allow you to get in a place in life where he will put you in a particular place to show you that it's time you go to him in prayer. Ask him for guidance. Seek his face so that you may see his goodness, his grace, and his everlasting mercy. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? For know that God is always with you. The same way he was with Jonah during his whole ordeal, as he reflected back on the things that he had done. For he says, thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and the waves passed over me. The waters compassed about me, even to the soul, the depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet have thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. Now know that Jonah is thinking about all of this while he is still in the belly of the fish. Which reveals to me that Jonah went through some stuff before the fish swallowed him up. God teaches us something right here, church. For there will be times in your life where God will allow trials and tribulations to come up in your life. And you are going to have to go through some stuff. I say you're going to have to go through some stuff so that you may become willing to humble yourself, hear the word of the Lord, and become willing to be about your Father's business and carry out your purpose, just like Jonah did. For it's right here in the text. For the Bible says, and Jonah said that they observed lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. There it is right there. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that which I have vowed. In other words, I will carry out my assignment and fulfill my purpose. For salvation is of the Lord. And scripture tells us here in verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. He's releasing them now. It's time to go to work. And I came to tell you today that God has kept you in his belly, safe when you was going through all of your trials and tribulations. And now he has vomited you out to do a great work. Which brings me to the apex portion of my text. Can I preach this thing like I feel it? Well, the Bible says, oh, I'm feeling good right now, y'all. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. For how many of you know God to be a God of second chances? Saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I told you to preach. Brother Darrell, I feel like preaching now. For the Bible says, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And the Bible says that Nineveh was a 3 days journey, but Jonah got there in one, which tells me that Jonah was a man on a mission, crying out to the people of Nineveh that the city would be overthrown in 40 days. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. For how many of you know blessings come through fasting and praying? Which brings me to my final verse. For the Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their wicked way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And as I get ready to bring this to a close, I just stop by to tell somebody that we will no longer go in the wrong direction, but we're going to turn around and be about our Father's business. Somebody say, turn around, because there are too many of God's people lost in Nineveh, right outside these walls. And God says, it's time. I said, it's time to meet them right where they are. For we have to stop focusing on the chains that shall be broken off of them. We got to see the strongholds are keeping them bound, but they shall be loosed, and the captives shall be set free. And right now I feel good about this, because I'm determined to see what the Lord gonna do when we become willing to go out and do God's will. When we become willing to go out on the streets of Nineveh and see about God's people, I need somebody to lift up a praise with me now, because when praises go up, it will invite Jesus to come on in. I come to tell somebody, when God tells you to go, go. If he sends you to the crack house, go. If he sends you to the liquor house, go. If he sends you on the street corner, go. If he sends you somewhere to somebody else's house, over there, booze house, go. I need somebody who is willing to trust in the power of God and carry out his will. For the Bible says, to do God's will is to sacrifice. Do I have anybody here who's willing to step outside the box? Who's willing to forget about what people say? Who's willing to do the will of the Lord? Then go, 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 go. And tell of the good news that Jesus, 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 he still lives, he still reigns, he still got power to do the exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Will you go? I say, will you go? Somebody say, yeah, say, yeah, say, yeah, Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to take my seat, but I can't help myself, because every time I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I can't help myself, but I've got to give him praise. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for lifting me up. Thank you, Lord, for looking beyond my faults. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Has he been good? I say, has he been good? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't the man all right? Somebody say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. 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 If you're going to go do what the Lord said, I need about two or three people to help me praise him in advance. Because when you go, lives will be changed. When you go, shackles shall be loose. When you go, chains will be broken. When you go, that took the devil tried to take them out with, God is going to turn it around and do what they need to be done. Will he do it? Or won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. We got to stop going the wrong way, church. People are hurting, suffering. And we can no longer afford to go in the wrong direction, acting like we don't see them. As hard as I done stood up here and preached, if the truth be told, yesterday I did that exact thing. I had an opportunity to spread some good news, and I passed them by. We all have got to pray about this thing. God said he don't want any of us to perish. Wherever he sends you, go. But if I go by the crack house, they're going to think I'm smoking crack. If I go by the liquor house, they gonna think I'm drinking. This thing is too serious, too big to worry about what people think. Because people gonna say what they wanna say. As long as God has delivered me from being on crack, some people are still saying that boy's still getting high. Guess what? Yes, I am. But I'm high on Jesus. That's the best high I ever had in my life. No more paranoia. I just feel good all the time. Even when you're going through, if you got a close relationship with God, you still feel all right. Because you know when it's all said and done, Brother William, God's going to make it better. Hallelujah. And as you rise on your feet, there may be somebody here today.